Lord bless the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, this morning is Passion Tide, or Passion Sunday, as we move into the season of Easter and get are reminded of the parts of Easter that we probably as humans do not like to remember too much. We like to focus on Easter Sunday, focus on the resurrection, without thinking about the passion and the suffering of our Lord. And it's very easy for us to do this and very natural for us to do this, because if there's one thing that we do not like to focus on, it is our own sin. And sometimes we in the church can be very guilty of that, because we have the understanding that, well, we know the stories. We've heard all of this before. And so we use that as an excuse to try to slip it away without realizing that even as we are human, we still continue to sin. We still continue to need the grace of God and need the redemption of our Lord. And because of that, we have to pause and are reminded. This morning in our epistle lesson, we heard how Jesus is a perfect sacrifice, and the epistle of Hebrews does a fabulous job of offering Jesus as not only the high priest, but also as the perfect sacrifice, that he fulfills that role together, that he's both the one offering the sacrifice and the sacrifice himself. And because of that, Hebrews is wrapped up with a lot of sacrificial language and sacrificial imagery that we are not quite comfortable with, nor do we understand, because we are so removed from the Old Testament. And we, although we have an altar, although we understand somewhat of a sacrifice, because we understand the sacrifice of the Mass in our service, still the idea of a sacrifice is a little bit foreign to us. And we sometimes need to remember that in the Old Testament understanding, especially around the Day of Atonement and the Day of Passover, a huge sacrifice would be made for the sins of the people. And it would be very bloody and very noisy, with a lot of fire and a lot of smoke and a lot of prayers offered up unto God. Because this is what was commanded. I don't know if you've noticed or looked on the calendar this year, the Western observance of Easter and the Eastern observance of Pascha, which is Easter, fall on the same day. Now, that hardly happens. In fact, it doesn't happen more often than it does because of the difference in calendars. And I'm not going to go into detail of how the dates are determined for Easter, because let me tell you, it is a very, very difficult walk through history to see, as we go with the vernal equinox, as we go with the Gregorian calendar verses, and it just gets very complicated, and after a while you just have to pull back and say, okay, wait a minute, what are we looking at? And it also gets into, was Jesus crucified during the, or when he actually died? Was it, at what time of the day did that happen? Was it the day of Passover or the day after Passover? And so it gets very, very complicated. However, one of the good points of that, of reading that story and reading that history, is it does go into the Passover. As Easter is our Passover. And it talks about what our Lord was doing on that time. He was the unblemished Lamb. The Epistle of Hebrews, we are reminded of that this morning. He offered Himself as spotless. The day of Passover, the Passover sacrifice, one of the sacrificial offerings would be an unblemished lamb. No blemish whatsoever. No problems, no spots, perfectly offered unto God. And that was an atonement for the sins of the people. Now, one of the things that it brings up, though, and one of the questions that it asks, is it talks about the blood of bulls and of goats. The only thing that it could do was cover the sins of the people. That was all that it could do. And so as we talk about a sacrifice once offered, they understood that a sacrifice could never be once offered. As you had all the preparation for the Day of Atonement, as you had as for Passover, as you had to find that one spotless lamb that you could offer, next year you had to do the exact same thing. And the sacrifice had to be done the same way. Not out of a remembrance, not out of a retelling, but out of a necessity in order to cover the sins that had been committed. Because that is all that the old covenant could do. If we were under the old covenant, we could not approach God because we were sinful. The only way we could approach God is if our sins were covered, and they could only be covered by sacrifice. And we would walk away from that sacrifice not being able to do anything about the fact that we were sinful. We were only covered for our sins. That is why the old sacrifice is incomplete. That is why everybody looked forward to the one that was coming that would fulfill what was promised. And here entered upon the scene is our Lord. And we understand that the sacrifice that our Lord offered for us on the cross is a full and complete sacrifice that does not just cover our sins. That is part of justification. As we come to trust God for our lives, as we come to trust Jesus, our sins are covered. But a monumental and amazing work begins to happen to the life of the sinner. And that is where the two understandings of sacrifice steps away. The only thing that the old could do was cover. But the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the perfect Lamb, begins to work within the life of the sinner, transforming them, making them new. Each and every Sunday, each and every service, when we come and we partake and we take the body and the blood of our Lord, we understand that this sacrament works to the very core of who we are, not just covering our sins, but changing us down to the very core of our being. So when we arise and leave, we know that something has changed. We know that we can be different. It's not just an idle promise. It's not just a, Lord, I will do better. We understand that we have the hope. We have the power. We have the ability truly to do better. This is what our Lord this is what the epistle is talking about when it says, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It will never, ever, ever go away. The change that works within our hearts is there forever. And the promise which our Lord offers to us, if we endure, lasts forever. It will never be taken away. So we look back, and it's natural for us to want to rush to Easter. It's natural for us to want to look at the resurrection without looking at the cross. Because we understand that one event, as horrible as it was, bought us, paid for us, and continues to redeem us, even to this very day. A sacrifice once offered. Unlike the Day of Atonement. Unlike Passover, unlike all the other sacrificial offerings in the Old Testament that had to be offered over and over and over and over again, it was offered once. Our Lord was crucified once. Sometimes people that do not know any better look at us in the Catholic faith and say, well, you crucified Jesus over and over and over. No, we do not. Our Lord was offered for once and for all. We remember, we retell, we take part, but we do not sacrifice our Lord again. That was done one time. And enough mercy and enough power and enough grace flows from that, not only for us gathered here, but for the whole world to take part. So our response is to receive and to be made new. Receive and to be made new. To take hold, take advantage of that which is offered, so that we can truly change on the inside, so that we can truly be different when we get up and leave, so that we can be godly, so that we can be Christ-like, so that we can be His servants in the world around us. Let's prepare our hearts this morning, as we prepare the change in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.